Hello, everyone. It's another week, another episode of Digital High from Entertainment Fuse. I am Aaron the Red, and with me only is Vince.
Hello.
So who assassinated the king this week?
I have no idea. Whatever country he's fighting, he's out there doing important work, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's got a Hulk to manage. Maybe his son heard turned down for what and just wrecked and just wrecked their place. I'm not sure what happened.
So you think maybe he's donning the Hulkbuster armor?
Maybe. Yeah.
Possibly. You never know. We just never know. Poor Marquise.
Now you're just making me picture him as like Tony Stark.
He's got a martini in one hand and he's just firing arc blasters from his other.
Actually, while we're talking about Marvel right now, what did you think of the whole like Spidey going back?
It's inevitable. I mean, it's like, come on, they were running Spider-Man to the ground. They knew they were. It's like, well, at least we can get a cut on the action, and the fans want it, and they probably saw what Marvel did to X-Men Fantastic Four. It's like, well, yeah, how about we not do that and really piss them off, because, you know, they're Marvel. This is their character. We're not apparently doing a good job with it, so let's work out some sort of deal.
I think maybe they wanted more exposure. Cause like the way the deal works out now is basically they're sharing Spider-Man with Marvel and like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like Sony still would make the still.
Oh yeah, they're still
money.
Gonna get, and they get some Marvel characters coming over with Spider-Man too. So some of those are gonna happen.
Yeah, good. They're going to be in the same universe now. Yeah. So maybe, and actually, Spider-Man and X-Men to me have the best villains. And Fantastic Four with Doctor Doom. So it's like Fox and Sony kind of had the best villains this whole time with like Magneto and like I said, Doom and Dr. Octopus and all these other guys. So maybe the Venom, like people like Venom would show up, you know, somewhere else. Maybe Venom being like a Punisher movie or something.
Yeah. So well, I mean, if now we can have the stay up to date with the comic books and bring Venom into Guardians of the Galaxy and other things like that, if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, basically the way the deal works out, Sony is still make money off the solo Spider-Man movies, and then and they'll still they'll still do the writer, producer, director, but Marvel's also helping produce it. So it's like pretty much a co-production. Now it's not like a lot of people are thinking, okay, Marvel would just give Sony, I don't know, $500 million or whatever, and buy Spider-Man back. That's like the main theory. And I could have seen that happen since Sony's been in financial trouble, and then they had the leaks and all the interview stuff.
Yeah,
and just overall, like Sony as a company, not even like the PlayStation or movie studio itself, just Sony as a company has been going downhill financially. So I could have seen them doing like same thing Disney did with LucasArts, like pretty much just buying that, but buying Spider-Man, like spending $1 billion on Spider-Man just to get them back. But now they're pretty much just sharing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think this is probably the best way, because I think Sony were gonna sit on Spider-Man for as long as they could, and they were either gonna try to work out a deal and resist until like the very last possible moment to actually sell Spider-Man. So I'm kind of glad they eventually kind of realized, like, well, it's either we're going to keep losing money or we can come to a deal here. So let's kind of be smart about this and act like adults. So I kind of wish more companies would do that. We see it too often, especially like in the geek world. Like, you look at Godzilla. Like there's a whole ordeal with 1985 Godzilla, which was on VHS, and the company that published on VHS, they were saying, oh, we have the rights to put it out on DVD. And Toho said, nope, you don't. Yeah, we do. We did the VHS. Oh, yeah, you did VHS, but not DVD. We didn't sit down to those rights. So long legal battle back and forth, and then I'm assuming we still don't have it, but then I believe I saw like Toho still made the DVD, and I guess you can get it in the States. Something like that. It's one of those kind of situations where it was lose-lose, basically.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of mixed on if I would want Fox and Marvel to do the same thing. I think Fox overall has done an okay job with X-Men. They haven't done good. They haven't done very well with Fantastic Four. Yeah. But I think the upside, if that did happen, is I think Marvel would do a Silver Surfer movie way better than Fox. I don't think Fox will ever do a solo Silver Surfer movie. I think Marvel, especially with Guardians, I'm not even sure if the comics they mix together often, but it doesn't really matter since they can just do whatever they want in the cinematic universe. Like if Marvel bought Silver Surfer, he would probably sooner or later interact with Guardians. Yeah. But does that happen in the comics often, or do they never hang out?
I'm not much for Marvel. That's the problem. For Marvel, I used to be heavier, but then I kind of went over to, I'm still with Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's because they're doing something kind of unique. But they're borderline getting dropped off because when they start piling people on. Like, now Captain Marvel's on there, Venom's on there. It's like, okay, if you add, a third or fourth person on here that's from, Avengers or wherever, it's like, really? That's just like, okay, act of desperation here. Come on. Stop. I don't know. I can't think of anything where it'd be like that.
I just, as someone who's not in the comics, I just thought they're both space people, so why not, have them interact a little bit? But I mean, like I said, the cinematic universe can do it if they wanted to.
Right.
But it's like a lot of people, especially more nerdier people, are pulling for it to be Miles rather than Peter Parker. And actually today yesterday I saw that they announced their Avenger line of toys, and you could see what Vision looked like and other people look like. And then today I saw that they show Miles as Spider-Man. So I'm just wondering if that could mean, okay, in the MCU, we're going to have Miles and not Peter Parker.
I kind of like that because I like Peter Parker's fine. But Miles, he kind of has more of a struggle for it, too. You know what I mean? Like, before, he has to live up to the name of Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And this way, it's sort of like you aren't just given Spider-Man. Granted, he earned being Spider-Man. He became a superhero. He blazed a trail. But when you have to follow somebody, you have to be just as good, if not better than them. It's that simple.
But could MCU do that? Could they pretend like there's been a Spider-Man this whole time as Peter Parker, and then he's dead and Miles picks it up? But that'd be weird because, like, okay, so Peter Parker, Spider-Man, has been around his whole time, but we've never seen him in MCU.
No. It would have to be something like he would probably be, like, roughly brought in or something, and either would be continuation or something along those lines.
Are you saying, like, I forgot his name, like the second actor who did Peter Parker. You're saying, like, have him die in, like, the first 15 minutes
or something? Yeah, like, it would have to be a heroic death of sorts, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that'd be, like, the best way to do it, Make it something where, like, maybe the Sinister Six was hinted at, and maybe it doesn't do it on camera, Like, we see it on TV and we just kind of get an idea of who Miles Morales is and stuff like that.
I'm not a fan of retconning. I do want Miles. I think I want Miles simply because I don't know who that is, and that's interesting to me because I don't know who it is. And
he's
just
a younger. Here's the quick thing.
I know it's quick backstory as far as all of that. It's just like we've seen Peter Parker's origin twice. I don't want to see it a third time. That's the main thing. And in either way, like pretending. If it is Peter Parker and he's supposedly been a hero all these years, or Peter Parker dies and he's been a hero all these years and then it's Miles, that feels a little bit forced to me. Because, like, really, Tony and Bruce Banner and Cap never mentioned, Spider-Man his whole time, and he's supposedly been there. Like, so it would be interesting how they handle it. But, at the moment, I'd rather have Miles than Peter Parker.
Right. I gotta agree. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. If not only that, it's just from an aesthetic value, because just the power-wise, I'm always... I want to see them have, like, that Venom sting of it, before Peter Parker's just a CGI'd super fighter, an acrobatic... what's the aerial acrobatic kind of stuff. It's like, all right, we get it. He's very cool and everything, but can we get something I can actually... keep track of, I mean before it's always just so heavily CGI'd and it looked like just some rubber man bouncing all over the place.
I didn't have the problem with the second Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that was toned down a little bit.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago, but I think that movie gets way too much hate. There's nothing awful about that movie.
It was better. Hey, at least we didn't have dancing, singing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And emo Spider-Man too.
So, one other thing before we jump to another movie story, is Miles ever an adult? Because every time I see him, it seems like he's like 15, 16, like around that age.
I have no idea. I'm assuming maybe some alternate universe, reality kind of situation, but I've never seen it. I don't know a lot. The only thing I got personally of Miles is they did a crossover kind of thing where Miles and Peter worked together, where Peter Parker actually crossed universes with Mysterio, and because of some sort of mess up, and basically he was in the world of Miles Morales. So he got to see basically Miles be him, and like all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, this is Peter, this is like really Peter Parker. Okay, wait a minute, how does this work out now? I mean, like, seriously, you're dead. And he's like, wait, what? He's like, no, yeah, you're dead.
Hmm.
So there was like that whole big thing, and it wasn't too bad. It's kind of cool to see that, you know, the fact that he may be a kid, but that's just a size thing, really. I mean, he's still pretty quick. He's a quick learner. You know, he's got no problem picking up on things very easily. Relatively smart. He's got that venom sting ability, and it's not like a damage ability. It's more or less like his fingers are tasers, so he's able like to sort of sting somebody, hence why it's called the Venom Sting, and they're like stunned.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking. I asked the age question because I think it might look a little bit weird if they did cast an actor that looked like a young teenager and
Jaden Smith. You know it.
No, it wouldn't.
I hope they don't. But he's the go-to for that situation.
Marvel's too smart for that. No,
they don't care. They honestly don't care. They see the fact that DC has Will Smith, so they're like, well, if you guys got Will Smith, why can't we get his son?
I have no reason to think Marvel's that dumb, or that they would somewhat allow Sony to be that dumb. Because all his movies have, they either tanked or just did okay, and they will have to know that he isn't well liked amongst a lot of people. So I don't see why they would pick him.
He's a safe pick. That's the only other reason I can. He's disliked too much to be the
safe pick.
Yeah. I want them to. I honestly want to see. You know what I'd honestly love? A nobody. A relative nobody. Doesn't have to be an absolute nobody, but somebody we've never really truly seen before. So, like a breath of fresh air kind of thing. New Spider-Man, new actor for Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what Marvel's done this whole time, though. Like, other than Downey. And a little bit of Ruffalo. Like, Chris Evans was around a little bit. Hemsworth wasn't popular. He was maybe in Australia,
well, look at
but not
Galaxy.
Over here.
I see what you mean, but that's the easiest one. I mean, we had, Parks and Recreation, and that was it of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that we need more of that. We need these unlikely kind of people. They need to, like, sort of broaden their perspective.
Mm-hmm. And for our other movie story, Hitman's back. Hitman Agent 47 is coming out August 28th here in America. And what did the trailer give you? Yay or nay?
You know what? I think summer blockbuster wise, I think it looks pretty cool. You know, it looked better than the first one. The first one was too grounded. You know what I mean? It was like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's Hitman. This one, it really sort of established, this is not a human. And they even said that. This is not a normal human. This is a genetically altered, specially designed, superhuman, basically.
Yeah. I was happy they said that, because when you see him, like, hit the sniper rifle and that happens, like, okay, this might be too silly for me. But at least they give it the excuse of he's a superhuman to a degree. Which... never really. Maybe there was a thing a little bit in the video games, but he wasn't really all that superhuman in the video games.
Not really, no. I mean, but he had heightened abilities and whatnot, but...
yeah, but he wasn't... he didn't have, like, super strength or
no.
Super...
he's
super
supposed to have,
aiming.
Like, faster... reflexes and whatnot. Like, mm-hmm. that was his whole thing, was, like, little things like that were going to be making him stand out as a person.
Mm-hmm. And they did have him changing clothes, which is obviously a trademark of
that
the video
nice,
game.
That was nice, little touch. I'll give him that. That was actually a very cool touch. To me, I like that.
It still seems weird, though, because, like, Hitman is an okay-sized franchise, but it's not, like, some huge franchise. Why is Hitman getting movies? But several, couple movies, but not, you know, Call of Duty or GTA. And
it's a C-level franchise. Here's the whole, like, Hitman story. Guy kills people.
Like, well, you can say about Call of Duty.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah.
So, but, I mean, it's just weird that, like, the C-level stuff is getting movies.
Call of Duty is a little bit too shrouded with, like, bad things. You know what I mean?
What bad
like, thing? Like killing brown people, that whole joke. Like, oh, another Call of Duty, time to kill more brown people.
Well, consider how well American Sniper did, I don't think America has a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's entirely true.
And from what I've heard, Call of Duty might just be as realistic as American Sniper was as far as being based on a true story. But yeah, I mean, it's just weird that the C-level stuff is getting movies as far as the video game franchise, but not like the A-level. I guess Assassin's Creed would be like an A-level game.
It's if that'll ever it's fucking come out.
Yeah, it's kind of like 5 years too late.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't know who wants that. Like, other than the hardcore Warcraft fans, it's like, seriously, why do you want that?
I like the director, and I like some of the actors, so I hope it does well, and I hope it's good, but I'm not in a WoW at all. I'm just curious how they can do that without making it look like a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty, and someone who looks on that, who's not a huge fan of either one of those, they seem pretty much like the same thing. Like that, I don't think the average moviegoer would be able to distinguish like Dungeons and Dragons, WoW, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and all these different things. But and actually,
an orc is an orc.
For Agent 47, I'm wondering if they'll just think it's some Taken ripoff, or in that vein.
Yeah, that's the sad part. I mean, I want to give it a chance. I really do, because to me, that just looks pretty cool. And that's about it. Honestly, those movies do well, and because they're needed. Sometimes you just want a movie that looks cool. You don't need complexities. You don't need over complex storylines and plots upon plots, and you know, need to be a damn detective to be able to follow the storyline and whatnot. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just nice to have these simple little films. That guy kills guy. Guy wins the day. Guy is triumphant.
It's kind of like all Liam Neeson movies over the last like 4 years, though.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like he's the new what's his name? Is it Charles Bronson? It was like the guy from the '80s, Death Wish? Is that Charles Bronson? Like he's like that new Steven Seagal, like Charles.
Yeah,
Bronson.
I don't know Bronson, but I know like Steven Seagal, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rob Van Dam, stuff like that. Yeah, entirely, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah.
But moving further into video games, we've both been playing Evolve. Unfortunately, not together, because you have it on PS4. PC. I have it on Xbox
PC.
One. Oh, you have it on PC. Oh, okay.
Yes. I went that route so I could stream it. Well, it better. PS4, I could stream it. But that way I've got like that. It gets neuter on PS4 because it cuts down on the little... But I can watch a chat that way a little bit easier. But then all of a sudden I get, you know, like a good chunk of the window cut down in half. I shouldn't say half, but a good amount. So that gets annoying very, very easily.
Okay. Well, they kind of know my thoughts because I played the beta a lot and talked about it a few weeks ago. I don't know how you feel about the game, so tell me.
I like it except for like a few things. Obviously, you know, there's connectivity issues, stuff like that. But the big thing that annoys the piss out of me is the achievement unlockables in order to get new characters. That was so annoying. That was so freaking annoying. And it's like because Lazarus got screwed on that. It's like everyone in Assault, just do damage. You can shoot a random monster, whatever, and that's it. But if you go, what's his face?
Lazarus.
You have to cloak, revive creatures. In order to unlock Kyra, something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, Kyra. What? Why?
You don't do creatures. You do your teammates.
No, it says creatures. It flat out says in the description you have to cloak, revive creatures, wildlife.
That's wrong. If it says
that,
because I unlocked Kyra. I have all three class. I have all three characters for everyone besides assault because I don't play assault a lot. I don't have the third assault guy, but I have everybody else. You don't. You have to cloak, revive teammates like seven times or five times or something like
seven
that.
Seven times, yeah. See, it said maybe it just meant characters, but it said creatures.
Yeah, so, I don't think he can even bring creatures back to life.
Yeah, he can. I've done it. That's how I did it, exactly.
Okay, well, yeah, I never did it, and I unlocked Kyra.
It was annoying as hell. It's all just, oh, my God. I like Lazarus. I just hate the fact because I just want to try Kyra. And I think, why not have the true and trial thing where basically you just play the freaking game, level your character up or level your player status up, and that gives you unlocks. And you can either pick people or just simply by leveling up as the assault, you unlock the assault characters, you know, rather than, you know, you have to do this X amount of times. It's like, okay, it's Lazarus. Maybe if you play with a good team, you never have to, like, resurrect people. I've had two or three games I've resurrected one to zero people. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, within a couple of days. You know, give it a week or two, maybe. I was lucky if I did, like, the prerequisite, you know, like, you have to do this X amount of times.
I get what you're saying, but I was fine with it. Because kind of like what we were talking about with Dying Light last week when they did right bumper to jump. You know, we're used to A and we're used to X or whatever to jump. But it's nice that they are doing their own thing. And yeah. And this way, it does teach people how to play each character if they want to progress up up that character class.
Right.
So you know, okay, this is how many points I need to get with Val's gun. And then you eventually learn, okay, this is how I shield people as Hank. And with Lazarus, he plays a bit different than the other two medics because he's more about, as his name entails, he's more about, and in his device entails, he's more about bringing people back to life. He's not much of it. He kind of sucks at healing. It's more about, okay, this person's down. And I can revive them without a block of their health coming back. Because for people who don't know, if you go down and then get brought back up, they take away like 10% of your health. And if you only could go down like three times, and then you automatically die. But yeah. If Lazarus uses his device on you, you don't get that block.
No, so I don't know if you can be incapacitated, but they did not be clear on that if they did, because the whole thing is like you had to be dead.
No, you could be down. You could be down and hurting. And use the Lazarus device, and they won't get a block.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that block is noticeable. I mean, it's kind of obvious, you know, whenever someone's like, oh, look, I'm kind of near death. Please don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's his big strength. The other two medics are at more healers. He's more of a reviver.
Yeah. Kyra is incredibly annoying as, like, anything, because she can do the acceleration field on people, and they just zoom through the level. You could be just dropping AoE heals all over the place, and you can shoot through the terrain. So, like, if you're underneath somebody and they're on a railway, as Val, you can't heal them. You have to see – it has to be line of sight. She's got great range with that health laser beam, but, you know, still, she needs line of sight. Kyra, mm-hmm. on the other hand, she can shoot, you know, around a wall or shoot next to a wall or whatever, and without an issue.
Mm-hmm. Can those balls – well, have you played as her yet or no?
Kyra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can those balls heal her? Does she have to use her clout? Okay.
Nope. She can just sit there and shoot the ground, and she heals anybody. So, I saw that before, and it works. So just keep on shooting the floor next to your feet, and there you go. You're healing yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's like Val's the best – probably the best healer to in a certain way, but she's the least effective in a fight. If I'm the last person alive, I'd rather be Lazarus or maybe Kyra, because they're not going to just use her speed boost and try to run away. But I'd rather be Lazarus or one of the support guys if I'm the last person. That way I can like hide and wait for the dropship to respawn teammates.
Yeah, I think the way it works out, Val works best for defense because she can stay up so high up in the air. She can heal from so far away, and not only that, but since she can stay up there, she can revive people from a great, great distance. So, I mean, that really separates her as a player, or a character, whatever. And Lazarus is best in hunt, I believe, because he still gets that marking sniper rifle. It's faster, so he can get more marks on there. He can heal people from the dead or incapacitation. And Kyra is sort of universal because she does that acceleration field, so it's great for tracking the monster. But with those AoE heals and napalms, I mean, my God, she's not great for damage or healing, but she's great for, like, instant healing.
Mm-hmm. Are you a trapper much? Are you mainly focusing on
magic? I've been a trapper. I've unlocked every character except for the Wraith.
Okay. Because I think Abe is a third trapper, right? I think that's
yes.
his name.
Yeah. He is the best. Because I
kind of have a problem with him. Okay. I think he's great in a fight. I think he's great at slowing down a monster, but he's not, because in my mind, the trapper is also supposed to be the tracker,
yeah.
too. But he sucks at tracking, like compared to Maggie and Griffin is the second one. Compared to Maggie and the second trapper, he sucks at tracking.
You think that? I completely get that, but all you gotta do is just like shoot random monsters, just keep on unloading on random monsters, and all of a sudden there's just, you know, that's the best way to find them. And not only that, but it's better than, because Daisy can be easily confused. And Sound Spikes can easily be, you know, stealth by. But you cannot stealth if you're tagged. So all you gotta do is just be relatively decent with those tagging pistols. And no problem at all. Or just if you're fighting against a new player, shoot random monsters but tag him. So then he goes up for the easy eat. And then all of a sudden, boop, he's tagged. Or just keep going around tagging wildlife.
I don't know. I think Abe is kind of a disadvantage. I will try that. I only lose Abe like twice, and I'm like, he's really good in a fight. He's the best trapper in a fight. But as far as tracking, I think maybe it was Abe and Bucket together, since Bucket is really good at tracking. I think that would be a good combo. I think it's kind of the strength of the game. Like you can strategize that way. Like, okay, you use your UAV. We don't have Daisy. We don't have Sound Spikes. So you're going to be the tracker, and I'll actually, you know, mark it when it's time. I can fight. I think Abe and Bucket would be a good combo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only that, but like I said, it's because the thing is, then you don't know as the monster, if you see Abe, if there's any safe monsters out there. You just don't, because all of a sudden you see that thing. It's like, okay, is that thing tagged? Because as soon as you go out and you have to kind of work your way back in, you don't know if they've just, like, as Abe, what I did is randomly just kept on shooting everything I saw, even if it's like a big old critter, tag, 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 tag. I don't know if the 5 limit still stays on, but I got that. So I was happy whenever I saw an ally being the trapper. It's hard to not say tracker, because for the exception of Bucket and Cabot, that's what they excel at. I mean, Maggie's got Daisy, Griffin's got the Sound Spikes, and Cabot? No, wait. Is that
Abe?
Name? Abe. Abe's got the trackers, the tracker darts, tracer darts. So, you know, to me, tracker, trapper, because Abe can't trap, really. He slows, but he doesn't have a harpoon.
He's got the dome.
Though. Yeah, but that's anyone, though. That's the only issue I have.
And his stasis grenades slow down people.
Yeah, that is true. That can be really annoying, because I didn't know. I thought it just popped, and then if you are under the effect, there you go. But then I saw just some guy start chucking him out there. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, it's a field. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does seem to have like some sort of residual effect.
Mm. I will give them credit. Every character I've been is fun. Like, there's no character I hate. I think Assault, to me, it's a bit too straightforward. I prefer the other three human classes. I'd rather be Assault the least. But I think everyone has their strengths.
Yeah.
We're talking about the problems of the game. And you mentioned servers. It takes forever to find a game. But also, for people who don't know, you set your preference of the 5 classes, like 1 to 5. And I always had Assault at number 4, Monster at 5. Those are the least two things I want to be. But the first 3 to 4 days, they kept giving me Assault. They kept giving me Monster.
Yeah. I had the same thing. I logged in today, and right away, boom, Monster. And I don't know if it's because I logged in last, so like that might have been an issue. I'm not too sure. But it was still annoying, because I was like, I hate being the Monster. I really do. And the reason I hate that is because at this point in the game, I'm like level 19 or something. So I'm playing against level 19 hunters, people that know how to be the hunter. I'm rarely the monster. I've, like, just for example, out of like maybe 40 games like that, probably been the monster 3 to 5 times. Mm-hmm. I just don't like being the monster. So I kind of wish there's a way you could opt out. Just don't want to be the monster. Really just don't want to. That needs to be an option. It's like you kind of 4v1 hunter. Some people want to be the monster and never a hunter. Those people mm-hmm. have to exist because probability states it to be true. I don't want to be the monster. So, again, that reinforces there's some people don't want to be a hunter. So why not? I like the preference thing. I really do. But that needs to be a thing where it's like, all right, do you want to be the monster? No. Do you want to be a hunter? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be like always, sometimes, never for like each of the five. And then that way for a monster and maybe assault, I would choose never. And then, you know, for the other ones, I'll choose always or sometimes or whatever. I think that would probably work out better. Or it might just be problems on the server side. That's the annoying thing about this generation. Like, can you guys make a game and it works on day one? Like, there's a problem last gen, but obviously more so this generation with, you know, Assassin's Creed and Master Chief Collection and all this other stuff. Like, just make a game that works day one. And I think that kind of proves the whole what we always say when it's just a beta a few weeks before a game comes out. Like, it's just advertisement. Like, you did an alpha 6 months ago. You did a beta a month ago, and your game still kind of doesn't work day one and day four.
Yeah. I haven't had too much of an issue with it, but, you know, I still see every now and then. It's like, but then again, it's like, to what degree do you want it to work? That's the problem, you know?
Well, for that, I'm saying I have to wait, like, at least 5 minutes searching to get into a game.
It does take a long time sometimes. I haven't had too long like that, but I've had a couple of games where it's like, you know, got to wait, 3 to 4 minutes every now and then. But I've had sometimes it's like, bam, you know, 20, 30 seconds. There we go.
I wish I had that. I never really had that. My friend and I were joking, like, the beta worked better than the full game, which is ironic. And actually, what do you think when you join mid-game and you're a character you don't want to be? Like, do you think they should transform you?
No, I like that because to me that tells me if a hunter leaves, I can at least still have a hunter, not just be stuck with with AI. And I kind of wish more games had that. I wish Smite had that, because how many times we had a rage quitter, it's like, you're stuck with nobody. You're literally stuck with 45.
I don't mean it in that way. I mean, if a Hank quits and the last support I was Cabot, and then they put me in the game as Hank.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I think that should be an option. That shouldn't be like, you know, you're forced to be like this. Like, hey, here's this game, but you're going to be Hank. Are you okay with that? It's like, if you're not, then you can simply say, no, I want to wait.
Or just transform the person into Bucket. Glad I might want to be Bucket so I can earn a Cabot. I might be trying to work my way up to support.
Yeah, just have redrop in, you know, like so-and-so dies, and then you just so-and-so drops in as Abe instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that would work way better than what they're doing now. And before we were talking about the Wraith and just the monster side of things.
Oh, my God. That's just... Goliath, fun, you know, still a bit of a challenge. He's tough. He's mean, stuff like that. The Kraken, you have to be tactical. You have to be. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. Either you're tactical or you're going to lose. I don't know how many times it's been like, oh, well, okay, yeah, I'm going to lose this one. There's no question. But as the freaking Wraith, I mean, you can state all you want, but he's got the lowest armor. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. He's so freaking annoying. It's just... Oh, my God.
Yeah. Before we go to that, I think the Kraken can sometimes be a little bit annoying. Well, I think just depending on how people play. If they're, I played matches where the monster never attacked anybody. They were just completely focused on running away. So it's basically just us literally chasing someone for like 15 minutes before time ran out. Mm-hmm. And that's easier to do with a Kraken because the Kraken is way faster than a Goliath.
Yeah. See, I kind of got that, but it's also like you're stuck with the whole, you know, cooldown sort of stuff. So, like, if your abilities were, like, really hard to keep on cooldown, then you're still kind of, like, you couldn't fly very long or very well. Like, I still try and get the hang of the Kraken, so I'm probably just not understanding him as well as I should, but I've seen players, like, if you're chasing down the crack and, you know, he keeps on putting down Banshee's mind behind him, and he keeps on doing stuff like putting up the vortex that'll push you back, little things like that. So he can be so annoying in those regards. Like, if you do decide to chase him, well, then you're going to be chasing a really big pain in the ass kind of guy, because you're going to have to be dodging mines left and right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And going to the Wraith, the big problem with the Wraith is it can go invisible, it can teleport, its attack speed is crazy fast and somewhat powerful.
Yeah.
It can it was hilarious, could look like a horror movie. The guy in front of me, basically the Wraith teleported to the guy in front of me. It hugged him basically, and it teleported him away. And it's like, this is something you would see in Alien or something. Like, that looked, it actually looked like somewhat horrific. Like, yeah. In this dark forest, my teammate
just got
teleported.
Grabbed also in the abduction. Oh my god, it's so fucking creepy. There's nothing but monster on your screen. It's like, what the hell is on? What is this? I'm being, you know, bear hugged by this monstrosity. And it is creepy, because all of a sudden, like, that is daunting. I like that feeling of, you know, you're screwed. There's nothing but a giant monster in front of you. You mm-hmm. really get that sense of fear. It's like, oh, I'm dead. It's mm-hmm. not maybe not true fear, but I mean, there's few things scarier than that. It's just, oh, no thank you. So many times I'm like, no, he's on me. Get him off.
Mm-hmm. He just feels, as far as fighting a Wraith, he just feels way, compared to a Goliath and a Kraken, he just feels way too powerful. Or maybe I should say she, because it kind of has boobs. I think the Wraith might be female.
It's possible. See, the one thing I kind of like that they kind of hinted at is we don't know anything about the monsters truly, because you see the giant eggs, and those eggs are larger than sometimes, like, look like a Goliath couldn't even lay them. So it's like, you know, there's more monsters to come. Like, there's at least the Behemoth. That's the next one, and that is the they've said this is literally the largest monster that will ever exist in the game. Why? Because this is as big as we can make him. That's it. There is nothing larger. There's nothing else we can make larger in the entire game.
Are there pictures of it? I saw like a shadow.
There's this teaser thing. It looks like a four-eyed or two-eyed golem like thing. Like, you see like two itty bitty eyes, and looks kind of rock golemish. So, I mean, there's that. But as far as actual, like, designs of it, we haven't seen anything. Not real.
Okay.
So. But that's the problem. It's going to, like, time will reveal all sort of thing, where we'll finally see more of it. And I kind of hate that. But at the same time, I like it, because it's going to give me something to look forward to as the days go on. But again, I'm going to have to go through that really crap system. It's like, okay, I have to do this now. It's like, all right, I'm Kyra, thank God, but I have to do the acceleration field for so many feet. But then again, it feels like I have to waste the acceleration field in order to get that sort of feeling, okay, I've unlocked the next guy. Then again, though, I have to do it in a specific way. I pretty much have to waste my abilities on random things or random stuff whenever I can.
But I mean, it's such a short ladder to climb. Like with Lazarus, it's only 7 hills. If it was 70 revives, then that would be annoying. Or if it was even like 17 or 27 or whatever. But 7 is nothing. Like, we both have everyone unlocked. Oh, I'm missing one person, but we both have pretty much everyone unlocked, and it hasn't been out a week.
Right. Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's like those games when all you're focusing on is this one thing. That's it. You're not focusing on anything else. You just want to unlock the next character. Then it's just like playing Smite for the unlocks. You're not playing for the sake of your team. You're not playing to win. You're playing just to get the next unlock. And that's it.
But depending on the character, that can also motivate people to help teammates. Because they might think, okay, I have to get 3,000 heal points. So I'm just going to heal everyone every second. I'm not going to have anyone, you know, get hurt when that can help you win the match. Like, it can definitely, or if Hank got to shield a teammate from damage from so-and-so points, then that helps the teammate.
Yeah. See, I get that. I do, because, you know, some things are going to be done without even thinking about it. You know, like Kyra, you know, just randomly, I just keep on shooting stuff. But then again, if I keep on randomly shooting stuff for the sake of damage, and then all of a sudden I'm giving up the monster free meals. And then, of course, you get the people that are like, okay, don't keep on giving free food, guys. It's like, I need the fucking kills, you know? I need this. I need to be keep on doing damage. Otherwise, I don't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So it's such a small thing, but it's an ever-prevalent, you know, sort of force. And you're just kind of like, God damn it, let me just grr.
So how has it been? Cause before the game came out, it seemed like they were trying to leverage it towards esports. Like, how has Twitch and YouTube received it as far as that side of things?
I haven't seen anything weird about it. In all honesty, I've seen, like, you know, they are like day one advertising on Twitch that, hey, look, Evolve's out. This is the launch day of Evolve. It's like, that was it.
Is Twitch on Twitch, is Evolve popular as far as games?
I haven't looked, to be honest.
Okay.
It's gotta be, though, since it's like, to me, it is the game. When Left 4 Dead was out, that was the game for this kind of situation. You know, Left 4 Dead 2, same thing. So it's got to be the same thing. Anytime you get a group of people going on, especially people like Rooster Teeth or Node or anyone like that where they're a team, yeah, they're going to love it because it's allowing them to show their teamwork and show their entire staff at work. But if all they're really doing is something blasé by themselves, then, yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, they can do, was it Deepest Dungeon or Darkest Dungeon? Mm-hmm. So...
I was just wondering because it seemed like outside of Destiny, it hasn't really been an FPS that's been big in like the Twitch community. Because usually like RTSs, MOBAs, MMOs, stuff like that, it's more of the old school PC stuff than console things. That like I mean, this is obviously on PC, but this feels more like a console type game.
It does. I mean, the one thing that's really weird on the PC side, I couldn't find it, but I've not looked for it again. I could not adjust the resolution or anything. I could adjust the resolution, but not like the video quality of things. So, like, as far as my computer, it runs fine, but if I run it a little bit too hard, it'll like cook my computer a bit because I can't tone down anything.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't have like advanced settings like shadows.
It was
and
like
all that.
Anti-aliasing, VSync, and that was it. Other than resolution, gamma, yeah, but I mean that has to be in. That's sort of like. Game design 101 almost, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about Evolve in the weeks to come. I actually want to see how you play, so I'll watch your Twitch next time you're on. See how great you are. See how godly you are.
I am Evolve. All that is ginger.
See you as a Wraith just slapping the hell out of everybody.
Oh, God. I think even if I got the Wraith, I just couldn't bring myself to playing that. I just really couldn't.
Yeah, I think it'll feel too cheap.
They need to nerf it. They really do. And they need to nerf, if not the attack speed, the damage it does. Because the damage it does is just, oh, my God, just so much. Mm-hmm. That's just daunting. They need to make it, the decoy needs to be on a longer cooldown. Because that's so annoying. That's something like you don't want them to keep on spamming that in combat and where they're being hunted and all in every other aspect of the game. It's just so prevalent. It's like, oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, you're dead now. You're there's no questions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're just dead. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because.
The thing is, if your consumer, if your players see a character and most of them think, oh no. Like if we see the Goliath, think okay. We see the Kraken, we say okay. If we see the Wraith and think oh no,
yeah,
then that's a sign that something is
Something's
wrong.
Something's messed up. You need to rework your game because that was. I remember you guys talking about that before when it was in beta. It's like, come on, guys, really? You know, there's freaking beta. You should have had that fixed then. You know, it should not have been considered so overpowered, and it still is. So it's kind of like, you know, what are you doing? So I don't know. That's something like, you know, I kind of wish, again, there's more MOBA involved with it. You know, they listen to the community, and hopefully they will. You know, it's online. It shouldn't be that hard to put a patch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, like I said, we'll talk about this more in the future. I'm definitely going to be playing this for at least a couple months, if not more. And I need to see more about this DLC thing. I keep hearing kind of horror stories about some things, and some things seem okay. So next week, I want to dive more into the DLC aspect of Evolve.
Yeah, at least the one thing, you know, granted, you're like paying, from what I've gotten from it, you're paying for stuff that will be released in the months to come. But you're paying for stuff that will change the game. You're paying for new characters, you know, and that's like basically a new way of playing the game. So that's not bad.
It sounds like the main thing I've seen that seems bad, other than the money aspect, is it sounds like the PC has two exclusive hunters, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't think they're out yet, but it sounds like
you
guys are going to get two exclusive and that we aren't going to get. I mean, they're going to
exclusive exclusives. Or are we talking like, you know, how normally exclusive is, where it's like, you know, it's exclusive for a limited time and then it is like released to the general public?
I don't know, but it was part of the PC Master Race collection. So
the Monster Race.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. The PC Monster one.
Whatever. Our next story, and Aaron, I always forget. Are you a Mass Effect fan, or you didn't get it? You never played it.
I played it. I wouldn't consider myself a fan, but I got into it, so.
Okay. Going by BioWare's job posting, it sounds like Mass Effect 4 is going to have online aspects, probably online multiplayer, which isn't shocking, since the third one had it, and that was good. That was great, in my opinion. So, just helps, you know, confirm that a little bit, which I'm happy to read. And also, this story mentions how they also confirmed that the lead writer of Halo 4 is helping with Mass Effect 4, which is not a good thing to me, because I did not like Halo 4's. Maybe it's not this particular person's, you know, fault. Maybe it was some executive or whatever, but I didn't think Halo 4 had a good story. So this isn't a good thing to me necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, are you excited about it? Hey, I wrote Halo 4.
Which one was that one again?
The one with Cortana gets bigger boobs and dies. And,
oh, yeah, and she's like multiple personality disorder and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the love story between them gets kind of creepy.
Yeah. Okay. That was one of my, are you sure this one you want to be bragging about, man? It's like, really? Like, I don't know.
And unfortunately, Marquise isn't here. Both of you guys are kind of like meh towards Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, the one from a couple years ago. We got more details on this sequel, and I'm just curious if it would change your mind at all, since I know this is up your alley. And some of those details are it's going to have a weather system, a day and night system. It sounds like going to have a bigger hunt system. It sounds like they're just doing a bigger focus on like surviving and eating and, you know, hunting and weather, almost like what DayZ was trying to do. Is that interesting to you?
Yeah, because it sounds like exactly what I like from Black Flag. You know, the whole I've always said I hated a few things from it, but just wandering around and hunting stuff, I could have done that all day long. This should be a game in itself. And I think that's sort of like what's hip, quote unquote, lately, because it's really hard to explain it. Zombie survival, horror survival—you know, these games that focus on surviving and, you know, putting this mysterious horror element into the game, where you don't know what's going to happen. You know, where's your next source of food or water going to come from? It's why games like DayZ, H1Z1. The Long Dark or the Lone Dark, whatever it's called. I think it's the Long Dark. And you get more and more of these games coming out because of that. It's so easy to put it in because they're immersed into it, usually their first-person perspective, or have that FPS kind of camera. You can either go first or third person. But you work so hard for this character, and then you got to sort of realize he's human, he's got to eat, he's got to drink, and when he doesn't, then this gets scary, because it's like, all right, I gotta get food, where's food, I gotta get some food, otherwise I'm gonna die.
Mm. And I doubt this would be that hardcore, but yeah, I think them adding it it helps add a certain depth to it. And it sounds like she's basically going to be in some remote part of Russia. And there's going to be snow, there's going to be forest, underwater caves, they say dusty sandscape. So it sounds like it's going to be across the globe, but it sounds like a big portion of it is going to be in like Russia. You got to survive and find this thing, find his area, you know, type story that they're going for. And also just help separate Tomb Raider from Uncharted.
Yeah.
Like, having a more open world, because, like, Uncharted is super linear. Having somewhat of an open world and survivability, it creates a bigger gap between them.
Yeah. The one thing that's kind of weird is, do you feel like it's them kind of going, you know what, let Uncharted go that way, we need to go somewhere else, or do you think it's just them going, we need to go a different way, Uncharted's not even thought of at this point?
I doubt they thought about Uncharted, because it seemed like even... It's like Uncharted is a beloved franchise, especially for like PlayStation-only guys. But it's like the third one soured some people. It's like the second one's like the holy grail, and like the third one soured a little bit. And maybe they weren't even going to follow up 3 with 4 until that teaser a little while ago. So I don't think it's some like big thing to be worried about. Like Call of Duty can be. If I was making an FPS, I'd be worried about Call of Duty. Or if I was making an open world game, I'd be worried about GTA. I don't think Uncharted is on that level, popularity wise.
Yeah, I can see that. I remember when I almost forgot about this when we brought up Mass Effect, the next game. They said they don't want to call it Mass Effect 4 because they don't think it'd do it justice, and plus they don't want. That was the Commander Shepard trilogy, so this one's not going to be Commander Shepard. Still going to be in the same universe, but it's not going to be in that sort of same storyline. You know, it's no longer Commander Shepard oriented. You're somebody new. So, I don't know. That got me sidetracked for a second. But yeah,
Looking at Twitch chat?
No. It was like I was kind of thinking of like ideas of what they could have done with Mass Effect the sequel. I don't want to call it 4 because I understand they don't want it to refer to as 4, and I get that. That I fully understand. I agree with that.
But I mean, this got to throw a colon on like Dragon Age Inquisition. Like they didn't call it Dragon Age 3.
Yeah. Okay. I guess, maybe, possibly.
I mean, it's that simple. and it makes sense. Like, studios, whether it's movies or video games, usually don't like to go past 3. They don't like the number past 3.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Anyway, I guess with Dragon Age Inquisition, they didn't want to call it Dragon Age 3 because then that might be intimidating to like newcomers. Like, oh, it's Dragon Age 3. I didn't play the first 2, but calling it Dragon Age Inquisition, you're just like, okay, it's this Dragon Age thing. I'm going to hop into it. I think it could make it seem like there's a less of a barrier of entry when you don't have a number on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely get to that. I don't know. I'm just... That one, I kind of have a few ideas of what they could go with because I know the whole thing is I feel like I'm going back in the story. I'm sorry. But it's something that's kind of bugging me because it's just, you know, the ways they could easily cop out, you know, having the online portion of it. And the problem with it being that is it could be sort of Fable 2 or the Fable 3 where, like, the little spirits are wandering around. Or it could be almost an MMO sort of experience and they could sort of shut down No Man's Sky. You know, go that way where, like, it's a sort of ever-prevalent actual universe.
I mean, I just hope I think they should just do what they did in Mass Effect 3, but expand it into a Destiny or Division sort of way. If they did that, I mean, really... Obviously, hindsight is 2020, but instead of EA wasting those hundreds of millions in that Star Wars MMO, they should have just made Destiny Mass Effect. And that would, because Mass Effect actually has an interesting universe, it has an interesting fiction and all this other stuff. The combat, at least co-op wise, works. And I can't see it working verse, but I would much rather have that than Destiny. And that could have sold. You know, they could have made them hundreds of millions of dollars instead of wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on the MMO.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the name. That's the risk of the game. I almost said that's the name of the game, but you know, sometimes the risk we run.
Yeah, and for our final story, it's a weird story. Have you seen this video before? Is this video like brand new?
The GameStop one.
Yeah.
That is so weird. I couldn't watch it because I was like, you know, first I get the feeling of, yeah, this is like, you know, sales associate kind of video, you know, very dumbed down, and God, I hate those.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's like, is this a joke? If this is not even a funny joke. I was like, okay, how serious are we now? Seriously, is this like is this a bad attempt at comedy, or are you just that dumb and that's that that just that almost evil?
I don't know about evil, but it's basically to give a point of reference. I was on Polygon, and I just happened to see this GameStop training video, and I think I might have seen this a long time ago, like for 20 seconds. It was hard. I watched it for like 2 minutes. It was hard to get to 2 minutes because it just to me it's so corny. It's not even offensive. It gets a little bit offensive toward the middle because it's talking about how
the cells are different creature and stuff like that, and they have they don't know what they're looking for.
The sales associate should handle women, how they should handle females, as if they're some strange alien thing.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's just a mixture of being dumb, but also just cheesy comedy. It's just like this weird, it's just very awkward. It looks like it's a skit from something. It doesn't even seem real.
Yeah, I almost wanted to say, okay, when is Comedy Bang Bang going to like show up right here? It's like, come on. It's like, you know, okay, is this like a failed episode for Portlandia? It's like, come on. All right, Will Sasso coming out. Seriously, man. It's like, what? Can we please, like, explain? And I understand this may have been an older thing, you know, or just simply badly done and looked really dated, but it was just, I didn't know what to make of it, to be honest. I was so confused. I was like, okay, how serious are these people? What am I supposed to do here?
And supposedly the woman in it says is a director of womanly studies at a university. So
I have a hard time believing that.
They're lying.
I'm just saying it's like she would know. Like she's either again, this is either her attempt at comedy or an attempt at I don't know what. It is just like. It's really hard to explain.
You sound so baffled.
Well, I am because I want to know what was the goal? What was the end goal here? What were they trying to do?
They're trying to be funny and educate the workers, but
don't know what they want.
Yeah, I actually think this video could kind of work if it was aimed. Either way, it's generalizing, but I think this video could kind of work if it was aimed at maybe older people. Like it was aimed at like senior citizens rather.
Parents.
Senior citizens of both genders, or someone like, well, with parents, you're just kind of assume like a 40-year-old wouldn't know about video games. But
you just got the whole thing about not knowing what they want and looking around, stuff like that. It's like, well, yeah, that's like a lot of parents are like that. So why is it, you know, women, you know? And I love the fact they even kind of debased guys, like how they won't wear, what is it? They won't wear. It wasn't dirty, but it was like trendy shirts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how even with males, it's either teens or young adults. It's like, motherfucker, I'm 30. And if I, you know, obviously I stopped shopping GameStop for a reason. It's like, are you saying one or two reasons? You're saying it for one or two reasons. One, teens don't know how bad you are, or that you just don't cater to those people, those age groups. And it's just that simple. It's just like, why is it only for your core demographic is teens and young teen males and young adult males?
Yeah. Why are people still shopping at GameStop is a bigger question. Yeah. But
I think that's kind of like what they're, you know, the little joke of it all is like, you know, those are the people who don't know how bad y'all are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but you know, I just thought it was a weird, funny. I'm not sure if it was funny. It was just kind of creepy and weird and slightly amusing. But yeah, that's how we're ending the show with our last story.
Oh my god! But still, it's just like, oh wow. Okay. All right, fine. If you want me to end it, I'll end it. Digital High is a podcast on entertainmentfuse.com. We always have our latest episode right there. They can always be found every Tuesday. And they are live on twitch.tv/entertainmentfuse on Sunday, usually about noon central, sometimes 12:30 or so. And be sure to follow us on Twitter, @DigitalHighShow, no underscores or spaces or dashes, nothing like that at all. That's it. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Digital High, your source for entertainment news and discussion.
Thank you.